And if we'd all open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. And reading from verse 7, verse 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we're once again a privileged people, Lord, to assemble in thy name. Believing, Father, you have come down in this hour with a shout. Believing, Father, you are here to lead your children, to gather them together, and to lead us into the millennium. For your prophet declared by vindication that the pillar of fire is here to lead us into the millennium. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to that leading. We ask that you'd help us to get ourselves out of the way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before we go to our message this morning, and it'll be from Who is this Melchizedek? It'll be number 69, and the subtitle would be Subject to the Father and Live. I'd like to just read a couple pieces of mail that we received from overseas. This from a brother in Uganda, which I've never heard from before. But apparently the books, we sent out 100 books here a few weeks ago, and apparently they're making their rounds. Dear Brother Brian, receive Christian greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This way we are fine by the grace of God through the message of Malachi 4 and 5. That has been opened our eyes to see God's promises. And I was very happy to get one of the pamphlets that proves the presence of Christ. I benefited so much from it when I was reading it that one has made me the unique one has made me the unique who was reading the prophecy about Christ and was not understanding it. The eunuch. Okay. In other words, I felt like I was a eunuch who was reading the prophecy of Christ and not understanding it. And it took Philip, who had ministry, to tell him about the prophecy. In fact, I was attracted by the revelation that God has given now concerning the message of the prophet of this hour. Because in Romans 12, 4-5, Paul said, through grace, God has given each one according to the measure of faith. So I want to appreciate you for the ministry that God has placed in your heart to help the bride of Jesus Christ all over the world. So it's just a letter of kind of, thank you. And I sent them to one brother over there, Brother Philip, Moses Philip. I can't pronounce the last name. And he has been very gracious to distribute them all over. So we have to be sending him more. And I also received this morning from Haiti, an invitation to come to their convention. And it's in November. I don't know if I'll be able to go or not, but it's kind of an official thing from, three of the pastors that are hosting it. And it says, the committee salutes you very deeply in Jesus Christ and invites you on the name of the Haiti Bride to its annual convention that will be held in the L'Auditorium des Eglises, located in Bobin Croix de Bouquet. Our bouquets from November 1st to November 2001. This committee will appreciate your participation and will be glad to receive confirmation to the effect by October 1st, the latest, so adequate formalities such as hotel reservations and lodging, etc., can be filled. So if you all just keep that in prayer. I've got a very busy schedule coming up here in the next few months. In July, I'll be going to Norway. In August, Lord willing, I'll be going to the Philippines. September, Lord willing, I'll be going to Peru. See if I can just make this a three-day weekend type thing. Lord willing, Haiti, November, and Africa in December. So just pray that my strength holds up and that I can just go and come back and not... Well, the idea is, anymore, I'm just not going to go island hopping again. We'll go, spend 3 days with the ministers, teach them, and then come home, and then leave them up, them to handle their congregations, and just leave the results up to the Lord. So, I just appreciate your keeping me in prayer about that. And also, Brother Tony wants to get me down there to South Carolina to preach a series on twins when they rededicate their church. And they've just gone through a kind of an overhaul of the church, and so he'd like to get me down there as well. So, so like, we have five or six places to be, and I don't know if I can do it all. So we'll just pray that the Lord would find grace in his heart to help us in the... just give us the energy to do so. And also that be his will. That's the most important thing. Now, this morning we read from Revelation chapter 13, and Brother Brown makes comment in paragraph 70 of who is this Melchizedek. He said, "Before the foundations of the world, he put his name in the Lamb's book of life. Then from that he become the Word," speaking of Jesus, "the theophany, that could appear, disappear, and then he become flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you..." Now notice. "But when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body into subjection to God." Hallelujah. "He that is born of God does not commit sin." He cannot sin. Romans 8 and 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There you are, see? That throws your body subject. You don't have to say, "Oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ," and it's all gone. See? See? Because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ, and your body becoming subject to the Spirit, you try to live a right kind of life. Now, the key in this being subject that Brother Branham is speaking of here is that it must come from the heart. The Scripture speaks of our being subject to the Father, and this being subject brings with it a reward. Life. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you follow me over there, and reading from verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth." So if we stop right there, I'd like to ask the question, what if the Lord doesn't receive that person? Will there be chastening? How many of you chasten your neighbor's kids? Or just strangers' kids? You see, he says, "And he scourges every son whom he receiveth." So, what if the Lord doesn't receive you? Then there will be no child training. If you endure chastening, he goes on to say, "God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" And that's our subtitle for the message this morning. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now, this coming into subjection to the Father is what we are going to focus upon this morning. Brother Branham said, "We bypassed our theophany and came to this world for testing. And the real testing comes from the role that we play." Are we playing the role of a son? Or are we playing the role of a stranger? Either we enter into the role of a son or we do not. And Jesus demonstrated the proper role of the son when he was obedient even to the point of death. Now, Brother Branham said, "See, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just quit. Get into Christ. That's all. See? Because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are now a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit, you try to live a right kind of life. Now, we read from Hebrews chapter 12 that God has called us to come into subjection to Him in the role of Father, and we shall live. But the subjection must be a willful submitting on our part. It must be from the heart if it will do us any good. In Romans chapter 6, and reading from verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto right wiseness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of right wiseness. Now notice, by obeying from the heart, it makes our subjection not a servant of works, but a servant of right wiseness. Now the Greek word for subjection that we read here in Hebrews and in the book of Romans is the Greek word hupotasso. And it means to put under. It means to be subject to or unto. It means to submit oneself unto, or to submit oneself to. To be in subjection unto, or to put subjection under. It means to arrange under. So it's talking about an order. It's talking about then an order or a role. To subordinate. To subject. To put in subjection. To subject oneself to. To obey. To submit to one's control. To yield to one's admonition or advice, to obey or be subject. How many remember the vision that Brother Branham had of the bride marching right up into glory? Well, the word hupotasso was used by the Greek military as a command, meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the commander or the leader. In other words, bring the divisions together in a military order. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we read, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. But the actual Greek word there means, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It is the Greek word phronio, and it means to think or to regard, to be of the same mind, thus to be like-minded, to have understanding, to be wise, to feel, to think, to have the same opinion, to be modest, not let one's opinion, though just, of himself exceed the bounds of modesty, to think or judge what one's opinion is, to be of the same mind, to agree together, to cherish the same views,